Jesus' precious name this morning. It's good to be gathered here again this morning and to look into his word. Been challenged, been blessed this morning already as we studied scripture, studied Sunday school lesson, and many truths, many challenges for us as brothers and sisters in our lives as we look at the children of Israel. There's so many things we can take to heart and realize the challenge that is there for us. For a message this morning, turn with me to James chapter 3. The book of James has a lot to say about the tongue. It's a lot to say about speech. Actually, a lot of the Bible has a lot to say about speech. And we're going to be looking at this morning, the Christian and his speech. Does your speech this morning identify you? I think we can all conclude this morning that speech, the speech of a person identifies who that person is. And it says that in Scripture. I'm going to read chapter 3 of James to start out here. Actually, jump back to James chapter 1 first. I'd like to read just a couple verses there. James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, the last two verses. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Flipping over to chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and is able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member, boasteth great things. Behold how great in matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter endings and strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Jumping back to the first two verses we read there in James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. It says here that if a man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, his religion is vain. And this morning, we in ourselves cannot control our tongue, but if we do not give our tongue, our conversation to the Lord Jesus Christ, then our religion is vain. Then we are living a fruitless life. That's what he's saying here. Jumping back quickly, well, first of all, in verse 27, he says, pure religion, he goes on to define religion here in verse 27. He says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's pure religion. okay, to keep ourselves free from evil, to keep our lives clear. You know, so much evil happens through our mouth. You know, our mouth is really what's inside of us. And we'll look at that a little bit later, how the part our heart and our mind play with our tongue, and how that, you know, what we receive into our lives will come out. Jumping back to Proverbs has a lot to say about the tongue. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs is a book that has a lot of snap inspiration, has a lot of just profound facts about life. And Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says this: "There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." There is that speaking like the piercing of a sword. You know, our words this morning, what the words we use, the things we say, can pierce the hearts of people. But it says the tongue of the wise is health. And he talks about that in the end of James here. He talks about I think it's by no mistake that he, in chapter 3, in the end of the chapter, that he talks about wisdom that is from heaven, and which speaks health. Because the wisdom of God is a direct connection with what I speak, what comes out of my life. Turn also to Proverbs 13, one chapter ahead. 13 verse 3 says, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. He that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." He that keepeth his mouth. You ever hear the saying that you need to listen twice as much as you're talking? You know, sometimes we get our mouth in the road because we talk too much. And sometimes we need to stop and we need to listen. And think about the 2.5 tribes that stayed on the other side of Jordan, and how the accusing questions they faced. You know, had they rose up in arms and became defensive and started lashing out at the men that came over, the difference in outcome that really could have produced in our lives. And it's easy to do that with words. And then also in Proverbs 15, verse 4, says this. It says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. So a tongue that produces wisdom and wholesome words is a tree of life. Okay, and it not only brings life to yourself, but it brings life to other people. Also, Proverbs 18 says this. It says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." Excuse me. You know, again, the words of a talebearer. Think about gossip and what gossip does in the life of a person and in the life of other people. It's saying here that death and life are greatly determined by the power of the tongue. I'd like to look at first of all, turn back to Numbers. I'd like to look where death has happened by the tongue. Numbers chapter 14. We have back here the children of Israel and the 10 spies that went to check out the 12 spies that went to check out the land. And two of them came back with a wrong report. And I like to just read two verses back here of these spies where death has come because of the tongue. chapter 14, verse 36 and 37. And it says, "The men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even so, these men that did bring up evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord." We have a group of men that went in to search out a land that God has promised to them. And we have two of these men coming back with a report that you know, let's go. The land is ours. Let's go conquer it. Let's take over it. And we have 10 of these men coming back and building up some truth about the land, but yet making it sound insurmountable and not taking into the equation the promise of God. And by it, they not only turned themselves against Moses, they not only murmured against Moses, but they turned the whole congregation against Moses. And it cost the death of many people because of their report. Also, we have in Acts chapter 5, you can turn there, we have the account of Sennacherib in 2 Kings and also the Ammonites in Ezekiel. But turn to Acts chapter 5, we have the account here, very familiar account. And we won't read the account, but I'd like to read a couple verses here. Acts chapter 5, let's read verses 5 to 10 here. "And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men rose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him." And then moving down to verse 8, it says, "And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door to carry thee out. And then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carried her forth, and buried her by her husband." But the death because of a lie, okay? Because of the tongue brought death. What we also have, well, back in Joshua and Caleb, Joshua was able to enter the promised land because he was willing to take into the equation the promise of God. And we also have Esther in Esther chapter 7 and 8. And we know the story well, where Esther was willing to go before the king and to plead for her people. And it brought life to not only herself, but to her people. Okay, where life was brought because of their tongue, because of their willingness to go forth and speak. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says this, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Of the abundance of his heart his mouth speaketh. So many times we allow our tongue to become uncontrolled. We say things we wish we wouldn't have said. And James here, explains in chapter 3, he gives a comparison, he gives some illustrations of what the tongue can and will do. And he gives some illustrations of how small the tongue is and yet the damage it can do. And he uses the horse and the bit in the horse's mouth, and he says, you know, that little bit there turns the horse the direction it needs to go. And you know, as the rider pulls one direction or the other, that horse listens. Because if it don't, it hurts. And then he also goes on to a ship, and he says, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great," you know, the rudder of a ship is only just a minute part of that ship. And yet it steers it. It says even, he even gives a comparison. He says, "Though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds," you know, it doesn't matter even if they're driven of fierce winds, that rudder still does its job down there underwater. And it still steers that ship, turns that ship one direction or another. And then verse 5, he says, "Even the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. How great in matter a little fire kindleth." But then he don't stop there. He says, "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity." And he says, "So is the tongue among many members." And he goes on to say that, you know, every beast, you know, all man has tamed all kinds of things. Man has done great things, but there's nobody that's able to control his tongue. If you haven't learned that before, I think we've learned it reading news on the president. That, you know, we in ourselves are incapable of controlling our own tongue. And we need to recognize that. What I say to other people, I need to allow God to control my tongue. If what I'm saying about other people, is it building them or is it destroying them? It says that the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. It says in verse 6 that it's set on fire of hell. Almost like I think the devil, you know, tongues have, our conversation, our speech has destroyed churches. It has destroyed families. It has destroyed friendships. You know, can we be as the 2.5 tribes on the other side of Jordan where they're willing to listen and they're willing to allow God to be the judge? They were willing not to become defensive, but willing to let God be the judge of their lives. I like to look at a number of tongues that I feel should not be a part of our lives that the Bible talks about. Turn back to Job 20. As we think about our speech and the what our speech should and should not be. Job 20, verse 16, says this. "Lo, there is good. Their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. How often is counsel of the wicked put out? And how often cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrow in his anger." I don't think I have the right verse there, but what I want to like think about is the tongue, the viper's tongue. 21. Oh, gotcha. There we go. "He shall suck the poison of asp, and the viper's tongue shall slay him." The viper's tongue. As we think about a viper, something very destructive. Okay, something that is extremely destructive. As we think about a viper's tongue, should not be a part of us. You know, when we think about what we are saying, you know, sometimes when I think about what I, maybe I'm repeating something of someone else, you know, and we need to stop and we need to think about, what am I saying about that person? Or what am I saying about the subject? Is it true? Is it right or is it destructive? If it's destructive, we're best letting it lay. We're not best repeating it. Drop it with you. And over in Psalms, we have another kind of tongue. Psalms chapter 5. Psalms 5, verse 9 says this, For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is wickedness, and their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. A flattering tongue. Is what I am saying true? Or is it simply flattering? Is it just something that is untrue? And then over in Psalms 12, verse 3, a few verses back, we have another kind of tongue. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Tongue of the pride. Do you ever try to build yourself up with your own words? It says tongue of the proud. A proud tongue should not be a part of our lives. And then Psalms 109. Psalms 109, verse 2 says, For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. A lying tongue. Do you ever tell a lie? You ever tell something that is untrue? Something you obviously knew was untrue. It says it shouldn't be a part of us. A lying tongue should not. It goes against the whole concept of speaking truth. And a lying tongue. And also a deceitful tongue. Back a few verses in Psalms 120. Chapters. Psalms 120 verse 2 says, Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Those who are willing to deceive. You ever speak something? Maybe it's a partial truth. Maybe you didn't want someone to know the whole truth, so you don't say it all. Deceiving them into thinking something that wasn't really true about the subject. Do we twist stories to fit our liking? Do we add a few things about somebody that, you know, really don't need to be added? And also we have in Psalms 120, verse 3, or Proverbs 10, verse 31. We have the mouth of the just bring forth wisdom, but a froward tongue shall be cut off. The mouth of the just bring forth wisdom. The froward tongue shall be cut off. A froward person. And we have a wholesome tongue. We're going to look at some of the two here, the other kinds of tongues. Proverbs chapter 10. Verse 12, verse 18. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Read that one earlier, where the tongue of the wise brings health. It brings knowledge. It brings wisdom. And also in Proverbs 17, verse 4. It says, A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Those who are get into mischief. A tongue that is willing to get into mischief. In Proverbs 17, verse 20, says, "He that he hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief." Someone who is looking for evil, listening to evil. And then Proverbs 25, verse 15. Says, "By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone." You know, I think there's talking about a soft, someone who is soft, who is, you know, the Proverbs also says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath." Someone who is soft in their speech, someone who is willing to build with their speech rather than destroy with their speech. And then also in Proverbs 25, verse 23, it talks about, "The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue." What kind of tongue do we have? Is it a backbite? Are we someone who is willing to bite other people in the back? Willing to speak against other people behind their back? And then back in James 3 in our text, it talks about the poisonous tongue. James chapter 3, it says it's full of deadly poison. This morning, our tongue has the ability to destroy our lives, or it has the ability to build our lives. We get to choose this morning what we want to do with our tongue. We get to choose what we want to allow our tongue to do. We can give it to God, and we can build our life, and we can build our brother's life, and we can build the lives of those around us. Or we can destroy our brothers and sisters, and we can destroy our friendships. Our speech has the ability to do that. It says in verse 13 of James, it says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge? Someone who has the knowledge of God, who has the power of God. He says in verse 12 of our text, he says, "Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water?" This morning, what we take into our lives is finally what is going to produce our speech. It's what is going to guide our speech. If we fill ourselves with every other book except the Bible, then finally that's what's going to guide our speech. What you read is going to guide your speech. Because finally what goes into your mind travels to your heart and comes out your mouth. What's inside will come out. I think it's in Matthew, it talks about, "By their fruits ye shall know them." And, you know, don't think this morning that others will not know you by the fruits of your life, by the fruits of your speech. Jumping back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, says this. Says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." It doesn't say that he speaks little guile. It doesn't say that he refrains from some evil, but all evil and no guile. And this morning, if we plan to live good, wholesome lives, then we need to guard our tongue. And we need to control our tongue by the Holy Spirit. And we need to guard what goes into our hearts, what goes into our minds. Because finally, that is what is going to come out. Because he tells us here, he doesn't say that you might have control over your tongue. He doesn't say that maybe you can have control over your tongue, but he says you won't. He says no man tamed it. There's nobody that will tame the tongue. But this little section, 13 to 18, he talks about genuine wisdom. You know, he says, but if ye have bitter envyings and strife in your heart, and glory not and lie not against the truth, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is first earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. You know, how many times do we fall into the category of envying and strife among us as brothers and sisters, as friends? This morning, how often do we fall into that category? And then verse 17, he says, but the wisdom that is from above is pure, and it's peaceable, it's gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits. It has all the good things in there, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And then I love verse 18. It says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. If we plan to have the wisdom of God, we're going to have to make peace with all men. We're going to have to make peace in our hearts first. We're going to have, and then as we make peace in our hearts, we're going to sow peace, not only in our life, but in the lives of other people. And it's going to show forth to other people. Let's be careful of our tongue this morning as we go through life. That we'd be challenged to watch what we say and build others rather than destroy others. That's the only prayer.